Good day to one and all, and all of you listening out there to the Backstretch podcast. I'm Zoe Cabman, joined as always by Mr. Jeffrey Siegel. And Jeff, how are you today?
I'm good. Happy Wednesday to you. It is in the middle of the week. We don't actually have racing here at Santa Anita until Friday this week, 4-day weekend. So we've got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday special holiday racing. So I like it when we're off until Friday. It gives me time to kind of kick back a little bit and then prepare. But only 7 races here on Friday, but we'll have 9 on California Cup Day, a lot of California bred races on Saturday, and some great racing around the country. A huge day at Fairgrounds on Saturday, the LeCompte, as we get into the Derby prep season. And then, of course, next week, Oaklawn Park opens, and that'll be fun as well. So a little bit of a breather this week, but we're going to kick on and get very, very busy from here on in, I think.
We certainly will, and obviously the January sale going on right now at Keeneland, and it looks like that things are all going the right way. There was a really nice mare sold yesterday, Enya Alrab, that was out here right, with sure. Doug O'Neill. Mm-hmm. She made a ton of money there January. She made something like $600,000 there yesterday. There's a lot of demand for not only the mares that aren't in foal, because as a breeder, you're a breeder, mm-hmm. Do you not think it's worthwhile going to buy a mare, say, in January that's not in foal, so you can actually pick the stallion and pick who you're going to breed this horse
to? Well, you
to?
Could theoretically, you could do that anyway. If you had a mare in foal, it's ready to drop. You can figure out who you want to breed it back to, and you have that foal. But you're paying for the foal, too.
Right.
I mean, empty mares, the barren mares, they don't bring as much. So, but if I remember when I had a stallion out here in the 80s in California, I was trying to prove a Mr. Prospector, a horse named Native Prospector. I did that. I went out and bought a bunch of mares because I knew no one would breed to him because they just didn't know him. And you have to support your own stallion, you know, sometimes and jumpstart him. He turned out to be pretty successful. But if you're buying in January looking for mares, you're probably looking for a specific type of bloodline, and then you will probably have a stallion that you want to support. Also, short yearlings are starting to sell enormously well now. That's a new phenomenon in the last, say, 6-7 years.
It really is, because a lot of the pinhookers now are buying weanlings. It's almost impossible to buy a weanling in November. And I think January, people have got most of their orders sorted. So we're seeing a lot more value for some of the short yearlings, but they're still spending money. I mean, $365,000 yesterday for a Mastery Filly from Paramount Sales. Mm-hmm. She's going to be a pinhook as well. So there's value, but as always with all these sales that we've seen throughout the years, the high end sells well, the low end sells low, and the middle, there's not a whole lot of market for the middle. So if you're bringing a good horse to the sale, they're going to sell well regardless.
By the way, speaking of Mastery, I think he's the best horse in the last half a dozen years that nobody remembers.
I remember him.
I know you do. I know you do. But he didn't make it.
Wait till his babies start running.
Right. Son of Candy.
Candy Ride.
Candy Ride. And he was the colt that Bob Baffert had. I believe he was undefeated, was he not?
4-for-4.
Yeah, and then he got hurt before the Kentucky Derby and was retired. But can you imagine what he might have been justified before justified?
Yeah, you know. And he was. And yeah. I particularly remember him because I do a lot of work with Mariette Farrell.
Right, sure.
She was the underbidder of him as a yearling. And he basically is the one that got away. Gatewood Bell bought him for $400,000 as a yearling.
Right.
And yeah, everyone's been kicking themselves.
You go to all these yearling sales and two-year-old sales as well. So why couldn't you have the sharp enough
eye? Because I'm not that sharp.
Not sharp enough to find a horse like Spice is Nice as a yearling?
As we segue perfectly and move on and talk about Spice is Nice, who absolutely just lit everything up at Gulfstream over the weekend.
She might be the next, I mean, I don't want to get too crazy on her because, but she made her first start last weekend, January 12th at Gulfstream Park.
But how much did she cost, Siegel? I mean, you're paying a premium. $1,050,000.
Yeah, I know.
But
I'll tell you what, if you looked at the race, if you watched her, if you were lucky enough to be at Gulfstream Park or watched her on television, she is what a $1 million filly is supposed to look like. She looks like a reincarnation of Curlin, her sire. So the thing about it is she was 7-2 in the morning line. And we had a work on her at XBTV on the website.
Working with Silver Ratio,
who had won the day before.
So here's Silver Ratio. And he outworked her.
Yeah. And Well, I don't think so.
Yes.
No, he did. Not in my opinion. Not in the gallop out.
Not in the gallop out, but in the work. Yeah.
Well, but it was a short work. Okay. So anyway, the bottom line is, so Pletcher puts her in this race going on one turn mile. That kind of signals that she wasn't that quick. But she wins the race at Gulfstream by 12 lengths. She was a length in front at the top of the stretch. She wins by 12. I don't know who she's beating. She runs a one turn mile at 136 flat, last quarter in 24 and change, and looked like a filly who was just starting to warm up when the race was over. A tried and true distance type filly. And she looks like a quality filly. She looks like, if I had to pick one logical Kentucky Oaks winner based on that, just that one race, she would be it. So a very exciting prospect. Spice is nice. Johnny V rides for Pletcher. Cost more than $1 million. She's, by the way, first foal out of a fantastic race mare named Dame Dorothy, a Bernardini mare who won 7 out of 12, won the Humana Distaff, multiple Group 1 winner. She actually ran out here, ran second in the Santa Margarita. And this was her first foal. Great, really good family. I mean, terrific. Mrs. Lindsay in the second dam, the theatrical mare, was a Group 1 winner. And it's a dam of a Group 1 winner. I mean, it's actually European. Sky's the limit, and then a very exciting prospect. She just blew me away. Again, her name is Spice, is nice. Watch her move up the ladder. She'll probably run again in Florida, and then who knows how ambitious they may get.
Owned by the Lowe's as well, so they have another nice horse there in with trainer Todd Pletcher. Okay, let's come out to Southern California and talk about perhaps a future star. She'd already tipped her hand. Her name is Jolie Olympia. She was 3 for 3 going into Saturday's card for Hall of Famer Dick Mandela, but that was in Brazil, and she'd never run 5.5 furlongs in her life.
No, she'd only run. She actually won going 6.5 down in Brazil. Here's the thing. I looked at her. Brazilian form is very
hard to gauge.
It is impossible to gauge because, first of all, you can have a great horse in Brazil. You can have a great horse in Chile or South America, but the crops are so small that any kind of racehorse could win 10 in a row, and you don't know if he can really run. It's like, who knows, you know? But here's the key. When I looked at who owned this filly, Jolie Olympica, and it was owned by Fox Hill Farms, they're not messing around with second-rate Brazilian horses. This, on paper, look like a filly who could really, really be good. And she really is good. Earned a 98 buyer number in her U.S. debut. Breaks the course record. 98 she was assigned. 101 flat for the final time for the 5.5 on the grass. As you pointed out, she'd been 6.5, 7.5, and she won a mile race, a Group 1 race down there. And she's 4 years old, but she was born in August. So she's really 3.5. She's by Drosselmeyer, and, Drosselmeyer, distorted humor horse, won the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Belmont, and never really made it as a stallion here. I actually owned his dam, Drosselmeyer, Golden
Did
Ballet.
You really?
Yeah, we raced her out here with Janine Zahadi. It was a fantastic race mare. Jolie Olympica now, probably by far the best Colesworth filly Drosselmeyer will ever have. And I'm really interested to see how ambitious Richard Mandela gets with her now.
Well, I mean, I think he was quietly confident with backing up in distance because she's been very forward in her morning works. Mm-hmm. Watching her school the day before and watching how she was in the paddock. She's a flighty filly. She's mm-hmm. not overly big. And I think Richard's a perfect trainer for her, just keeping her on the down low. Mm-hmm. He knows she can go fast, but I think he just wanted her to relax, and that's exactly what happened. Looks like they're going to stretch her out now. It was really interesting listening to Mike Smith afterwards because this is how in tune Mike is. You know, a lot of jocks, you can ask them about the horse. They don't know who the sire is, and
they
don't need to know. That's no slight on them. But Mike, I rode Drosselmeyer. It's so nice to ride one of his babies. Yeah. And Jolie Olympia looks like sky's the limit. And we will get to see her stretch out because the talent is there for sure.
There's no reason in the world. And out of a mare by Trampolino, there is absolutely no reason why Jolie Olympica can't run farther and farther and farther. So it's exciting. It's not the most glamorous division in the world, the older filly mare turf. But it's exciting to see a possible champion.
But you know what? Dick also opened the door to she may run on dirt. They may give her a shot.
There's no reason why. I mean, the sire was nothing but a dirt horse.
Right.
So we'll see. Anyway, it's something to really be excited about early in the year. And one thing we do know, Richard knows to, does right by good horses, and he will do right by her.
All right, let's talk cups. We've got Pegasus World Cup and the Saudi Cup. We'll start off with the Pegasus as we have some additional invitees.
Yeah, it's actually the race is coming up pretty quick, a week from this weekend. So what are we, like 10 days away?
Yeah.
And you know, we know it's an invitational type of thing, and so we're gonna, obviously all eyes are gonna be on Omaha Beach. Does he have to win this race though? I mean, what do you think?
Yeah.
He has to win it.
Yes, absolutely.
In other words, he will. When I say does he have to win it, I mean he will win it.
Oh no, yeah. This you can't say that. You can't ever say that. Okay. He should win it.
That's what I meant. That was the context.
He should win it. Does he have to win it from a going to stud prospect over some of the horses?
He doesn't. No, he doesn't have to win it from their standpoint. But I'm telling you, is he beatable? That's all I'm trying.
Everybody's beatable.
Okay, fair
They're
enough.
All beatable.
Bodie Express, tenfold.
If you get stuck on the far outside, you may be screwed.
Might happen. Bodie Express, tenfold added to the list. So right now we're looking at obviously Omaha Beach, Spun to Run. Beat Omaha Beach in the Breeders' Cup Mile. He'll be in there as well. A few others in here that look like they could be dangerous, including Higher Power. Have you seen him work for
yes.
John?
Okay. Yeah, he had a sensational work on Saturday. Okay. Really, really good. Super gallop out, 12 and change. That was the big work before they ship him down there. Obviously, he still has to ship. Right. But he looks good in there. Omaha Beach had a sharp work under Julian Leperu. Mm-hmm. Looked good. He'll come back and do probably a little bit more next week because that was just kind of a get a feel of the track after he had that foot issue last week. So definitely Omaha Beach, the likely choice, yeah. And certainly the one to beat in there. Maximum Security, Giftbox, Roadster, and Bravazo all withdrawn from consideration. Looks like Roadster will run in the San Antonio here.
Okay.
That's going to be the goal for him.
Right, and we know Maximum Security is Saudi-bound.
He's Saudi-bound. Giftbox will wait out the big cap, much like he did last year.
Right.
He's a lightly raced horse, and they intend to keep him that way.
Midnight Bisou, I think she breathes this morning, if I'm not mistaken. I think I read that. She's obviously headed to Saudi Arabia as well.
McKinsey worked this morning at Santa Anita.
Well, he didn't really work,
did he? A very tepid gallop around there for Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. Kind of meant to go in 50, wound up going in 52 and 1.
Okay, so he's kind of ticking over.
He's just ticking over. But I'll tell you what, Siegel.
What?
He's going to have to ship an awful long way to get to Saudi.
I know.
Yeah. His works have been nothing short of stellar. The best that I've seen from him. You can find them on XBTV, his work last week. And physically, watching him, I've never seen him move so well. Mm. Physically, again, I've never seen him. And I'm going to say he looks so fat, honestly.
Really?
He's usually a light-framed filly, a little bit feminine.
Uh-huh.
And he looks the best that I've ever seen him.
Well, I think there's going to be interest in this race from Americans because we have our best horses are going over there.
We're talking about the Saudi.
Yeah, and that kind of bothers me a little bit. I'd rather have him, you know, who wouldn't rather see him here in the States? But times are changing. I'm not saying they're changing for the better. I think that the Pegasus World Cup was supposed to be the target for a lot of these horses who are now bypassing that race and going for the $20 million purse. It's hard to blame them, but I wouldn't do it. In Saudi Arabia, 140 were nominated, so we'll see how that shakes out. So hope they all get there safely and come home safe, and maybe we can enjoy them later on in the year, some of these, the best that we have in the division.
Absolutely, but there were nearly 1,000 entries for the whole program.
I know, it's going to be a great program.
Nearly 1,000 entries.
They actually built a grass course there, which apparently grass is hard to grow.
Get in the middle of the desert,
right.
Yes.
But anyway.
When you have money, you can grow anything.
Have you heard anything about television coverage in any way about this race? Have you heard it?
There's definitely going to be some coverage. I'm not sure.
Is it going to be like in the middle of the night, though?
There's going to be.
It's halfway around the world.
Yeah, there's going to be in-house coverage for sure. But it's certainly looking good.
Hey, we had let's go do our weekly baby watch. We had a foal born. Not we didn't. Wish we did.
Excuse me.
Wish it was ours.
Oh, okay, Siegel. Yeah. All right. So then we have.
But how about this? Do you think this filly will be okay down the road? What do you think she'll bring? A Diadora out of Unique Bella. Nice filly, huh?
Very, very nice filly. Don Alberto with Unique Bella. She's a Dual Eclipse Award winner, having delivered her first foal yesterday, and it was a girl. So Can't wait.
Would you rather have a girl, a filly by Medaglia d'Oro or a colt? Now, colts will generally sell for more money, but Medaglia d'Oro fillies, you think back to Rachel Alexandra, they're worth their weight in gold.
Songbird.
Right.
I'm thinking I would like a filly out of Unique Bella.
Well, they've got one.
And if she could even emulate her mother in the morning and then perhaps a little bit of the afternoon, because I still don't think we ever really saw the best of Unique Bella.
No, probably not.
I really don't think.
Although she was a two-time champion, so it wasn't like she didn't.
But maybe I'm just expecting more because we watched her pretty much from the first day she set foot on the racetrack here at Santa Anita. But
she got beat first time out.
I know she got beat in June first time out, 17 hands.
That's all right. The list is long of champion horses that got beat first time out.
So congratulations to all those involved with Unique Bella who delivered a foal yesterday morning. All right, Siegel, let's move on. 2020, we started this last week. Let's talk about Kentucky Derby rankings.
I'm going to release my rankings. This is my official first rankings.
Drum roll, please.
1 through 8, okay. Now, let me just say this, okay. I'm going to go 1 through 8 here.
Okay.
But this is not based on resume. This is projection. It's not who I think is the best two-year-old or three-year-old now,
okay.
It's who I think will be the best when it counts the first Saturday in May. So I'm going to be listing horses towards the top that you might say, how in the world could you list that horse? It's all projection. It's all guessing. Well, not all guessing. Educated guessing. All right, we'll start things off, and I want your input. I don't expect you to give me a top eight, but I want you to tell me if I'm spot on, close, or completely and totally way off, okay? I'm going to start off with my number one three-year-old. This is the one colt that if I were making a future book bet on, I would make it on him.
Did you make it already?
No,
you
didn't.
Should've.
I didn't. It's too late. Okay. Cat's out of the bag. I like as my first top horse, Authentic. This is the undefeated Bob Baffert colt, My Into Mischief, who broke his maiden at Del Mar back in early November. Won nicely, didn't win like a colt that was going to be the next Secretariat, but he won nicely. But then he comes back and wins the Grade 3 Sham Stakes with a 90 buyer number, this race taking place on January 4th. He wins the race by almost 8 lengths. If he had run straight and true, he probably would have won by 12 or more. Looked great during it. Beautiful, long, elegant colt. Who breezed this morning, Zoe?
He did.
Now, first of all, how did he breeze this morning? And tell me if I'm completely and utterly off base.
No, I think you're spot on. He just had the maintenance work, 49 and change there for Bob Baffert, just a gallop over the track, his first work back. Visually, the Sham was about as good as you can get, and people are going to give him extra points because of the wiggle and the ducking and the diving and, what if. So he's going to be touted into the... as far as you could possibly get.
I already
get.
Have started.
Yeah, to the moon and back for Authentic. So he's on everybody's number one list, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know if he's number one, but he's my number one, so we'll go with that. Number two is Maxfield. Now, I'm taking him based on what I thought. He was going to be my selection for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, but he bruised a foot. They looked at it. They ended up taking a chip out of an ankle, I think, a minor flake.
Yes.
He's now galloping at a training center in Florida. He'll do that for maybe a couple of more weeks, I would imagine. And then they'll kick on with him for Brendan Walsh. And, at this stage, you don't want any more setbacks. But if he comes back healthy, I was just absolutely blown away with his Breeders' Futurity win at Keeneland. He beat a colt named Governor Morris, who I'm very high on as well,
yeah.
A Team Valor horse. He had won his previous start, a one-turn mile. So I think Maxfield, again, looking down the road, 1.25 miles for Saturday in May, it's my street Santa out of Mirabai Bernardini, I have him number two. You probably won't have him that high, but what do you think?
Trained by Brendan Walsh, I think he's a very, very nice colt indeed, one of the finalists for the Eclipse Award. So you are not alone in your thinking. He definitely deserves to be top three.
I hope he comes back as well as he left, and hopefully... he will. All right, number three, I have the Dale Romans trained Dennis's Moment, who was he's had some bad luck. It's okay. First time out, he lost his rider. Last time out in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at 4-5, a race that would have assured him an Eclipse Award if he had been able to win it. He stumbled so badly at the start, I don't even know how the jock stayed on. And then, of course, he was not persevered with and was beaten 21 lengths. But Dennis's Moment is a really, really top-class colt. And I think that he is, I'm very curious to see how he returns and if he fulfills the promise that he showed in his two previous races, his maiden win and, of course, his awesome win in the Iroquois, which is just a grade three. But if you saw it, you had to love it because he won under wraps.
Well, I was all over him like a rash prior to the Breeders' Cup
Everybody
Juvenile.
Was, yeah.
Absolutely. Doesn't really look like a son of Tis now. He goes more to the dam sire, and that's elusive quality. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see him now because I would like to see him grow up just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like a two-year-old. That's my only question mark on Dennis Moman. How is he going to progress from two to three?
But wouldn't you rather have a horse that looked like a two-year-old
as
opposed to a three-year-old? Because sometimes they don't have the growth and the maturity. They win because they're already mature enough to win.
This is the thing. Yeah. So Maxfield, sometimes things are meant to happen. Like, that was a blessing in disguise as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Because he looked like he's going to develop into a beautiful, big, good-looking three-year-old. Dennis Moman looked like the whole package as a two-year-old. So I don't know how he's going to move on from two to three. I think he's a very, very good horse. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for a horse as a three-year-old,
we're looking for May 1st.
First Saturday in May,
right.
I'm in agreement that Maxfield should be above Dennis Moman. I don't know about Dennis Moman and how he's going to progress.
Fair enough. So we'll watch him train
and we'll watch him
run. Okay. Next, and I struggled with this, and I know you could easily talk me into this. In fact, if I had talked to you about my list before I had it here, you probably would have. But I have Independence Hall number four. It's just that I'm bonkers for Constitution, so I kind of elevated him for that. A colt that won his first start by five, came back and won the Nashua by 12, and earned a triple-digit buyer number, then came back 2 months later and was stupid in the paddock and didn't break again and rushed up and looked a little out of sorts, still won the race by four, and that's one of the reasons that I came back to him. I think I may have seen Independence Hall at his worst, and he still won by four, but he can't pull that stunt next time. So I have him number four, but he's kind of like it's a hanging by a thread number four.
Mentally, he has to progress and move forward. I think he has the talent, and we'll have to wait and see. He's certainly in the right barn to move forward mentally.
But he's not. He's actually. I was kind of interested to see the game plan for him. They're not going. They're not tackling. They don't want any part of the big boys yet. They've got him at Tampa Bay, maybe the Sam F. Davis.
Maybe that's smart.
Well, maybe it is smart. I mean, I always,
get to the dance.
I always believe that why make a horse run as hard as he's capable of running before you get there? Get there and then, so take the path of least resistance. I've always been an advocate of that. So at Tampa Bay, he'll train there, he'll run there, he'll probably win there, and he won't be exposed to the very best until the last minute, which is probably the right thing to do. So I have number four. Number five, I have Tis the Law, another Constitution. This is a colt that broke his maiden first amount. I absolutely was blown away with the Champagne win. I thought that was spectacular. He won that race, and then he comes back in the Kentucky Jockey Club. He catches a sloppy track. He had a bad trip. He was boxed inside. He got beat that day at 3-5. I'm going to not hold that against him, Zoe. I think that maybe if I key off his Champagne win and before that the win at Saratoga, he's back in training. He's healthy. He breezed on the 12th of January at Palm Meadows, just 5/8. But I still think and he's out of a Tis Now mare. I think there's a lot to like about Tis Law, especially over a classic distance.
I can't disagree with you at all, Siegel.
Okay, there we have it. Number six is Tis the Law.
Storm
the Court. Storm the Court is the colt that I hope and believe and deserves to be champion two-year-old. Okay, he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. I'm not completely and utterly sold on that race. I mean, it was a game race for him, and he won it. And he ran a lot faster than the fillies, so I can't be too critical. But I just don't know how strong that race was. Prior to that, he was a distant third in the American Pharaoh behind Eight Rings and American Theorem. So I don't know about Storm the Court. I do know they did enough to be a champion. But being by Court Vision out of a mare by Tejano Run, I'm a little bit of a snob on pedigrees. Where do you think he's training well. Where is his upside?
The thing that I like about him is that If you saw him when Pete first got him, he's grown, and he's grown in leaps and bounds.
He
bigger
has.
Than I actually thought he was going to be. He's bicorp vision. I don't think the distance is going to be any problem. And he's gutsy. He got tackled every step of the way and turned back all challengers, three of them in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and probably should have folded. Mm-hmm. So he's got that going for him, and I think he's going to mature perfectly to turning three.
I'm really curious to see. I had a great, very favorable impression of him in terms of his class and his quality and his heart. I don't know about the natural God-given ability that some of the others I think may have over him. But as you pointed out, he could develop. Really curious to see how he come out and run. And it'll probably be sometime. It could be early in February. They might wait until March. But whatever the case is, Storm the Court is definitely in the top 10. He is number six on my list. Number seven is a colt that I'm having a tough time with, Zoe. You know, I put Authentic on top for Bob Baffert, undefeated in two starts. And here, we're talking about Thousand Words, who's very similar. Undefeated in two starts, broke his maiden first time out, then the one the low South Futurity at grade two, beating a horse, Anadora, who was the horse that was in the photo with Storm the Court in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So he theoretically has beaten a better horse in Authentic. And yet I have Authentic number one and Thousand Words number seven, and I'll tell you why, and I think you know why. Because Thousand Words, my Pioneer of the Nile, is $1 million horse. Everything on paper looks good. And then I watch him train, and I just can't.
He's just not flashy, Siegel.
No, he's not flashy.
He's workmanlike.
He's not even workmanlike. He's a lousy workhorse. I mean,
he's not that bad.
Yes, he is.
No,
I think he is. If you're going to be a Kentucky Derby winner, you don't get outworked by some maiden or non-winner as a two horse.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay,
vehemently.
Fair enough. Okay. I watch him in the morning. He does not train like a horse that should be a Kentucky Derby horse. But his form is good. So maybe he's just lazy. Maybe he's smart enough to figure out when it counts and when it doesn't.
I don't think he's that bad in the morning.
I think he is. All right. So he's number seven on my list. And then finally, I figured
another son of Constitution. Yeah, Look at this.
Well, no, I mean, three out of eight
are. Star, yeah,
right. And I'm sure there's five others out there that I haven't heard of yet. But the eighth one is, now, you've heard of this horse. You know him. I know him. I'm not sure many people do. And again, this is more grandstanding. I realize that all this colt has done, his name is Ancient Warrior. All he's done is break his maiden at Del Mar, beating Garth. Now, number one, everybody beats Garth, so that doesn't prove anything. Number two, Ancient Warriors only had that one start, a six furlong maiden race, and I have him in my top eight. How could that be? Well, this is a projection, okay? He doesn't deserve to be in the top eight like right now, but because this is a list for horses that I think are going to be heard from in May, I really loved Ancient Warrior's maiden win. He showed me a lot. He broke from the rail at Del Mar. Nobody wins from the rail at Del Mar, especially a maiden first time out. He took heat. He drew off and won by four. Flavian Pratt just kind of niggled to him. He won without even being asked for his best. This is a Jerry Hollendorfer trained colt that will not run at Santa Anita. Now, from what I have been led to believe, and I could be wrong about this, but I think he's headed to Oakland and maybe run in the Smarty Jones, which is a week from this Friday, so it's like 9 days from now. And his work pad at Los Al looks okay. It doesn't look flashy. I don't really know where they're at, but I can tell you about Ancient Warrior. From what I saw of this colt, he's a homebred. I think he is going to be spectacular.
And he will be at Oaklawn Park. I think Jerry's taking 40 back there now.
Okay.
To Oaklawn Park. So Ancient Warrior, we'll see him on the path to the Kentucky Derby, not over here on the West Coast, but he'll be in the Midwest at Oaklawn.
Obviously I'm high on him. What do you think, Zoe? I mean, what do you think his potential is?
I think probably in the next week he may not be on your top eight because there'll be several others that just broke their maiden and dazzled you, Siegel.
Well,
so
no,
that's what I'm thinking right now.
It's possible, but I'm just saying as I'm going to keep him on my list until such time as he gets beat. And I don't think he's losing in Oaklawn Park if he's as good as I think he is. Now, we have another very important race this weekend.
The LeCompte.
Right. This is a race at Fairgrounds. It drew actually 14. Lynn's Map is a horse that I thought had a chance to win it, but he's drew the 14 hole. He's not going to run now, apparently. He's going to wait till the Risen Star at Fairgrounds.
Okay.
They'll put him away. I mean, it's a colt that just broke his maiden, came back and won a non-one as a two. So you looked at this field. I mean, does anybody catch your eye here?
Well, obviously, there'll be some money on Mr. Monomoy, who, of course, is the half to Monomoy Girl by Palace Malice, trained by Brad Cox. He'll draw post position number two, just ran second at the fairgrounds in the slop.
To Lynn's Map, you know.
To Lynn's Map, right. Yeah. You know who I like in that? I actually like Scabbard. I've been a proponent of his. He's by More Than Ready out of a Gone West mare. He ran in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. I didn't think he ran badly at all. Fourth beaten 7.5 lengths in the Iroquois. He actually ran well in the Iroquois. If you're wondering who Scabbard is, he used to be called Noose. They changed his name two starts ago. I like him for trainer Eddie Keneally in the LeCompte. Do I like him going a mile and a quarter? May probably not, but I like him in the LeCompte.
Well, I agree with you there because I thought his Iroquois runner-up effort to Dennis's Moment was really good. And I thought he might be the one that Dennis's Moment would have to worry about again in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He trained really well. He looked good. But he was fourth in that race, fourth, beaten 8 lengths. I didn't really feel he had an excuse that day, other than the fact that, look, the track, let's face it, was really deep that day. A lot of horses didn't handle it. But I'm curious to see how Scabbard runs, because if he's as good as I think he was going to be before the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, he'll win the LeCompte. Now, the question is, if he does that make Storm the Court look better? I think perhaps, because I'm looking for something to come out of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile to excite me, and that hasn't happened yet. So I don't know. But I do think that if Scabbard brings the kind of form that he brought prior to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, which was a maiden win at Churchill, a good runner-up effort in the Saratoga Special, a very good runner-up effort in the Iroquois, any one of those three races, I think, makes him very tough to beat in the LeCompte. So,
and it sets up really well for him because there's speed on the outside, Sycamore Run. Mm-hmm.
Who won Bango's, his debut, yeah.
Bango's got speed. Right. There's a ton of speed. Jack the Umpire's got speed. New Eagle's got speed. With that long stretch at the fairgrounds, sky's the limit. I mean, I think you're going to have a closer.
Could be. Well, Sycamore Run, you mentioned him. He's kind of an X factor. Street Sense Colt won his debut with a powerful 85 buyer number, but he did it sprinting, and he did it on a sloppy track. So who knows, right? We'll find out a lot about Sycamore Run, and we'll find out about Scabbard and a few others. Big field of 13 likely to go postward Saturday at Fairgrounds. 13th race in the program. They're going to keep the best for last. Very good program at Fairgrounds. So that is it. Bob Baffert approaching a milestone. He's going to have 5,000 wins pretty soon.
What's he up to?
I think he's like 3 short of it or something like that.
Okay.
You know, so it's going
to
be...
happy birthday, belated happy birthday to Bob. Just right. Turned 67 a couple of days ago. And finally, Siegel. Mick Ruiz, Sousa CHRB. This is all about Bolt D'Oro and justifying the scopolamine test prior to the Santa Anita Derby. Does he have a case or not?
I don't know. I can tell you, I have experience with this.
Is it going to cost him the winner's share to fight this?
Probably. I don't know. Here's the thing is, I had a filly actually back in 1995, Team Valor. Lady Blessington actually won a stakes here at Santa Anita and then tested positive for scopolamine. And it was Richard Mandela trained her. And what happened was it was the same situation where it was a... I think she actually ingested it in the receiving barn. It was two or three other horses that had it as well. So at that time, there was a rule that says if you test positive, you lose the purse. Nobody thought anybody was cheating, but we lost the purse. I mean, they took the purse away from her, and that was the end of that. Very disappointing, but the trainer was not found in any kind of shape or responsible. It was just one of those things. This is a similar situation. Now, I think back to when Lady Blessington got disqualified. This is similar, but the difference is this. The difference is at that time, scopolamine was a banned substance. Now, the California Horse Racing Board is now saying their case is, well, it's no longer the kind of a substance that you get disqualified for, lose the purse. That's the gist of the whole argument here. Mick is claiming that rule was put
altered
in after the race. The CHRB is saying no, it wasn't. And I think that's where it's going to go down.
So he said, she said, kind of deal.
Well, it's an interpretation of the rule. I don't really know what Mick's... I mean, personally, I get a laugh when Mick calls himself the little guy. Mick, you're not a little guy. I know little guys. I'm a little guy. He's always a little guy. Mick, you own a farm in Kentucky. You are not a little guy. And it's not going to help Bolt D'Oro in terms of his, stallion. He's fighting over the purse, And I personally, let it go. that would
I'm
be my advice.
I'm waiting to let it go.
You know.
But
you know, anyway, we'll,
he's got
we'll,
the
we'll,
money to fight.
It's,
it,
by so. The way, Bob. You know, Bob Baffert was the trainer. He's been exonerated. Nobody's blaming him or anything like that. So it's just a matter of it's a money grab, basically what it is. And hopefully, nothing will come of it. That's just how I feel about it. So we'll see. So.
And that is how we'll end the show for everybody out there. Thanks for listening. For Jeff Siegel, I'm Zoe Cameron. We'll see you next week.